This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey and looking at the vices or the bad habits or practices that exist amongst not just the non-Muslims, but more specifically even amongst us Muslims, unfortunately. These practices, they become habitual inside our lives and begin to have an impact upon ourselves and upon the wider Muslim community around us. Amongst those traits that we touched upon, which are actually today's topic, the signs of al-nifaq, of hypocrisy, of a laziness approach towards a salawat, towards the prayers, a lazy approach or loosening of our tongues, or the loose nature of our tongues, are all, we can say, signs of hypocrisy. And we shouldn't shy away from the fact, because unfortunately some of us Muslims are good at that we try to prop our heads inside the ground and think that certain things don't exist inside our society, that we are totally a pure society, an infallible society, or these vices or these sins don't exist amongst us Muslims. And nifaq, hypocrisy, unfortunately does exist amongst Muslims. Rather, Muslims are being warned more and more to be aware of al-nifaq. And as we find, if we read through the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we find that in the beginning Meccan period that we find, the first 10 years or so, there was only iman and kufr. There's a choice: either you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in totality, or you follow the path of kufr, disbelief. So that's iman. At that time was a pure iman, a pure devotion, a pure commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was only inside the Medinan period that we find that a third element began to exist inside our society of al-nifaq, of hypocrisy, that some people began to enter into Islam to display Islam, to protect themselves, to take the ghanima, to take the booty, to take the wealth, to feel that they're protected, because the power of Islam was growing. So this was the only thing that existed, a third element existed inside Medina. And this is something, a warning to us Muslims. And this was at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so 1440 years later. How can we not think that al-nifaq, hypocrisy, doesn't exist amongst us Muslims? And thus we find the major level, as we know, of nifaq is to pretend to be a Muslim externally, to even adorn oneself, to dress like a Muslim, to behave like a Muslim, to do all some of the traits of Muslims externally, but within your heart is corrupt. Your heart wants to break Islam. Your heart wants to destroy Islam. This is what those hypocrites were doing, that externally, we can even use such words, they displayed themselves according to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, totally, in totality. The only time that it began to become, to be revealed, the hypocrisy, as we're going to touch upon, is in the state of salawat, missing their prayers or staying away from major commandments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them inside the Quran. Then they were revealed. Other than that, externally, you could not tell. Unlike today, that we find that even the level of hypocrisy that we find, even externally, a person can display the hypocrisy, becomes visible. We don't even try to conceal it amongst ourselves. As for the minor hypocrisy that we find, which is common amongst us, unfortunately, breaking promises, lying to individuals, cheating, vulgar speech, rude words that we find, these are all elements of hypocrisy. And likewise, we find being two-faced towards individuals, which is our topic today, of this immoral practice that we find. تَجِدُ مِنْ شَرِّ النَّاسِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ ذَا الْوَجْهَيْنِ. You find the most wicked of people in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection will be the person who's two-faced. الَّذِي يَأْتِ هَؤُلَاءِ بِوَجْهٍ وَهَؤُلَاءِ بِوَجْهٍ. He comes with this group, to this group of people one face, he comes to another group of people with another face. Al-Hadith muttafaqun alayh, collected by Imam Bukhari Muslim inside this Sahih. The most wicked of people on the day of judgment who are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those individuals who display two faces. They show one face to one group of individuals, and they show another face to another group of individuals. If we dissect this hadith, what does it mean in today's language of being two-faced towards individuals around us? It's a sad state, but it's visible inside our society. You know, many people try to say that there's a cultural element among certain Muslims, what they practice. Islam has also become cultural in many of the other environments as well. It's just a cultural practice, certain things, certain symbols that you do. But the actual spirituality, the practice of Islam, for certain societies, is becoming more and more weakened. It's just a display of Islam. It's Ramadan, so we all fast. It's a time of Hajj, so we all observe certain rituals and practices. It's not just about rituals and practices that we find. It's the more inner element, the depth of spirituality that we find. Because some Muslims, they say that Islam prayer is just a ritual. It's a form of exercise. It's not just a form of exercise. Because exercise will only exist at certain times and certain periods. It'll be dissolved when a person doesn't have the ability to pray. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we find according to the fiqh of salah, even a state of need, a state of hunger, a state of fatigue, a state of weakness, a state of sickness, a state of traveling, person still needs to offer their prayer, specifically the men. And even a person cannot move their limbs, person uses their bodily movements, or uses their head, uses their eyes, if not they pray inside their mind. This shows the point that a salah isn't just an exercise, it's spirituality. That no matter what moment inside your life, you are connecting yourself, a silah billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is an impact upon your life. Not just that we've just completed the prayer. Many people, they make such statements, I read my prayer. There's khayr, there's goodness inside that. But what is the impact of that prayer? What is the value of that prayer? What is the percentage of reward of that prayer? This is what many of us, our life has become, just an approach. Life is just a formality. Just like you find many of the people on this blessed day, Yawmul Jum'ah. We've observed Yawmul Jum'ah. We came to the Jum'ah prayer. It's just a formality. It's not an element of spiritual uplifting, of changing ourselves, rectifying ourselves, becoming a taqarrub ilallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find this, in essence, living two lives. This, in essence, is an impact of secularism. That's what it is, that we live two lives. That when we're in the masjid, we're devoted individuals, ibadur rahman. When we come out the masjid, we live our life how we want to live. This, unfortunately, many of us Muslims, even this Western world, that's what we become. Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, we work around the people around us. On the weekend, we give some time towards Islam. We have our Islamic events, we do Islamic activities, we do this. But the rest of the time, we engage with what around us. But this is my portion, my share of Islam. There is goodness and khair inside that, we don't reject that. But that's not what Islam is. That we live a two-faced life that we find, even in the Muslim lands that we find. We shouldn't shy away from the fact. Many people, when they leave their environment, look at the state of them. They take off their hijab. They take off. They live a different, totally different life because they find this deen. They find their restriction inside their heart. They don't find contentment living with Muslims. They don't find contentment living in an Islamic environment. They want to come out of that environment. As you find it in the summer, it's open. How many people travel to foreign lands? For what? لِأَيِّ غَيَا. For what purpose? لِسِيَاهَا. For tourism? What tourism is there? Only a few individuals may engage in certain things that may benefit them. But this is the reality. It's living two lives. Maybe inside Islamic society, we don't shake hands with a woman. We don't listen to music. We don't do certain things. But the minute we come out of this environment, we do everything that we know is haram. Because now we're in a different environment. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kalla wa hasha, doesn't exist anymore. We're in a total different world. There's no hisab. There's no accountability. It's a total different life. This is two-faced towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living a double life. That in an environment, I display certain things, but when I come out of that environment, I live a total different life. This is something which is an element of hypocrisy that we all need to question ourselves inside the life that we find. To behave, and even amongst us Muslims, to behave and display ourselves amongst Muslims and non-Muslims alike. We find this, unfortunately, that some Muslims, they like to go out their way to overpraise non-Muslims. We don't say we shouldn't praise them, we shouldn't be kind to them, we shouldn't look after them, but we can't seem to find the balance. Muhammadur Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu ashiddaa'u 'alal kuffari ruhamaa'u bainahum. We're not going to be harsh and stern all the time towards non-Muslims, or be rude to them, or disrespect them. We give them their due rights. But you find at the moment everything is twisted. Ruhamaa'u bainahum, mercy, compassion towards Muslims around you, kindness, goodness, love, affection. But yet we find the opposite. That if a Muslim does something wrong, it's like all hell is broken loose. But if a non-Muslim does something wrong, then maybe you should find excuses for them. Why should we find excuses for them and not find excuses for Muslims around us? This is an element that we need to question ourselves. We don't need to shy away from the fact. Our belief is clear. We shouldn't show two faces with non-Muslims.
that Muslims begin to crumble and say, no, these things don't exist inside our society, or we don't believe this. We should be open and clear. There's nothing to fear inside our lives. We find amongst those things that Islam is the final and only way of life. In the deena, in the layal Islam. There's no need to chew our words and to pretend. Just say this is Islam, is the way of life, which is codified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the only way of life which is acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever wants to believe, let them believe. Whoever wants them to disbelieve, let them disbelieve. Our belief is clear. Islam is the way of life. It's the only way of life. It's the only thing acceptable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't need to be rude to any individual. We don't need to sugarcoat it and say, no, they are Abrahamic faiths. Every single faith leads you to God. That's not Islamic belief. Every single faith doesn't lead you to God. Only one path leads you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Only one path that goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Deenul Islam. That's it. That's what we should present to the society around us. Likewise, we find purity and rule of the Qur'an. Qur'an is a book of rules, ahkam, regulations, codification, application, a life of living. Why should we shy away from the fact and say, no, the Qur'an applies to a certain regime, a certain environment, a certain medieval practice, a certain time, a certain location? No. Al-Qur'an was sent down lil-qawaneen, lil-hukam. In al-hukmu illa lillah. It's sent down for rules and regulations, for application. Why should we shy away from that fact? We can see the turmoil. We can see the corruption on the face of this earth. That when we live away from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's all visible. Why should we shy away from the fact and pretend, no, that's not the reason? We've abandoned the Qur'an. Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi ittakhadu hadha al-Qur'ana mahjura. It's our Surah Al-Furqan. Read the tafsir of this ayat. Read the view of Imam Nawawi. Speaking about abandoning the Qur'an, leaving this Qur'an. That we abandon the Qur'an, this application of the Qur'an, ruling and judging by the verses of the Qur'an. Likewise, Shari'atullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And its application. Why is it we Muslims so naive, so shallow, so weak? That if somebody speaks about the Sharia, we find an upheaval. This individual may be some form of a radical individual. The Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been placed for what purpose? Why did Allah send rules and regulations? Why did Allah say this is a punishment of such and such an action? This is a punishment of such and such an action. If people break the laws, why is it there? To protect humanity. We can see the man-made laws around us. People go into prison, they come out being more smarter criminals, telling them more crimes. There's no punishment upon them. They don't fear the law. They don't fear anything. But Islam is a way of life, a law, a codification that takes retribution, that takes out punishment upon people who've broken the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the due punishment, the hudud. Again, we shy away. That if a person commits adultery or fornication, does this, or this is a practice at a certain time, it doesn't really mean this. No, we should be clear. In an Islamic environment, in an Islamic law, if a person is caught carrying out certain actions, this is the punishment according to the law. Just like you have a punishment we have inside this country. There's a law, there's legislation, there's practices that you carry out. We carry out certain practices inside an Islamic environment. We're not applying them inside this country, and we don't intend to apply them inside this country. That's crystal clear. This is a law that exists inside an Islamic environment. And even then, this law is only applied after strenuous conditions that the qudha, the judges, will go through. Don't fall into the trap of how non-Muslims say that they just, as they say, excuse the word, just chop off a person and amputate a person's hand for stealing a bottle of milk. It doesn't work like this inside the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a long discussion. There's a long process till eventually, finally, the judge may decide that this is the only punishment. Finally, it's not just quick. As they seem to perceive inside the media that we just punish people. The law is a form of protection. It's not just applied that just people just like to push it inside society, that the Sharia is some form of barbaric law, hardship, just executing people, rolling people's heads off, sending them to the gallows. No, it doesn't exist like that. It's a long procedure. We should be at the forefront explaining to people, this is what the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what it entails. And likewise, if I'm against all types of vices, homosexuality, why are we shying away from the fact? We can see LGBT being taught to our schools, the environment around. We just shy away from it. From the 15 Muslim MPs that we find who are supposed to represent Muslims inside this country for us. You know how many of them mentioned the case inside Birmingham of the school, the students, the parents, revolting, if we can use such words, against the teaching of this subject. How many of them spoke out in Parliament? You know how many? Zero. Zero spoke out about it. How many non-Muslims have to come and speak? What's wrong with them protesting? They don't agree with it. What's wrong with that? This shows our mentality. You're not a criminal. That's what we think. We think we're going to be criminalized. If I say this, then they're going to think I'm a criminal. These are our rights. These are our views. It's a right of the law of the people, the governing of the people, the law of the people, freedom of expression of the people. We express it. We're not going to be rude. We're not going to be derogatory. We say we don't believe in these practices. We don't believe in this type of relationship. We don't expect this type of relationship to be taught to our children. We should be at the forefront of expressing this. We shouldn't shy away from the fact, because this is hypocrisy. This is nifaq, showing one face. Yes, but this, but that. But then when we come in front of them, we don't want to express it. We don't want to talk about it. Then everyone says, oh, why are they teaching this to our children? Why are they teaching this to our children? Because we're not being vocal. We're not expressing our concerns in a good manner to the environment around us. And we don't agree with such practices. Likewise, the rest of the vices. Likewise, world politics. The wars on the earth that we find. Why should we not express our concerns? You know, if people have no faith can make a million-man march, come out inside society against war and terror, etc., that we find. Why do we think that we shouldn't say anything? You know, the sad fact about some of us Muslims is we still have a slave mentality. Whoever pays us the money, we'll speak for them. We'll work for them. We'll talk for them. That's not what Islam is. Islam is free. That is what you mean called freedom of expression and speech. Free from any entity controlling our mind, controlling our lives, controlling what we say, what we speak, which is common practice, unfortunately, inside this Muslim Ummah at the moment. Everything is controlled, is codified. Certain people pay a stipend, pay a certain wealth, give a certain position, give a certain authority to do what? To undermine people, to control people, to keep the masses in a state of silence. This is all hypocrisy. We know this deep down inside our hearts, but dare anyone express such concerns inside a society that we find? And thus we find that some individuals, unfortunately, they think success lies in this. There's some form of glory, some form of honor in siding with certain types of individuals. Look how the Quran is crystal clear, warning us. Does it mean that we're rudimentary towards non-Muslims or other individuals? It's a warning to awaken us about what the correct belief of a Muslim should be. الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ كَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Those who take the non-Muslim, the disbelieving individuals, as their friends, besides the Muslim, give them preference. The Quran is very, very explicit. You can't make ta'wil of the Quran. Quran is very accurate inside its language for all times and all places, giving us that warning, reminding us. As I said, we're not going to be derogatory or rude towards the people around us, but it's crystal clear. You cannot give total allegiance, friendship, commitment towards the non-Muslims like you give it to the Muslims. It's not possible for Muslims to do that. If a Muslim seeks it, أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُ الْعِزَّةِ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Because you claim that there could be some honor, some glory, some friendship, some commitment that could come via this. Izzah comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. All form of izzah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person focuses with a commitment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will give glory, will give honor, will give victory. Maybe it may not be visualized for a few years, but it will be there, it will be documented that this honor, this glory belongs towards these type of Muslims that we find. And as we find numerous passages, if we study Surah An-Nisa, that we find numerous verses inside. The strange thing is, numerous passages speaking about an-nifaq, about hypocrisy that we find. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tattakhidhul kafirina awliya'a min dunil mu'minin. Oh, you who believe, there's some clear warning. Oh, you believe, don't take the disbelieving individuals as your awliya, your friends, besides the Muslims. أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَجْعَلُوا اللَّيْ عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place a manifest display, evidence against you about what your belief is, what your intent is. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكَ لِأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Indeed, the hypocrites are going to be in the lowest depths of the hellfire. وَلَن تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا. No helper will help them on that day. You want the help of the people around you? On that day, you'll be in the depths of the hellfire. And no individual will come and try to relieve you or help you on that day. And thus we find that rather the Quran, throughout the Quran, the beginning of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah that we find, many times we mention this, it begins by speaking about sifatul munafiqeen, speaking about the hypocrites, the belief of the hypocrites, the practices, the traits of the hypocrites, till we find that in Surah Tawbah, the ninth chapter of the Quran, is once again a large theme of it, is revolving around the hypocrites. Then we find till eventually the 63rd chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Munafiqun. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the whole surah talking about the hypocrites. That we need to go back and study and understand the meaning of this surah, the impact of this surah. Speaking about the whole passages, verses about the sifat of these individuals that we find. To such a degree that Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah wrote a famous risala, Sifat Al-Munafiqin, based upon this surah and the first 12 or so verses, Surah Al-Baqarah, whereby he mentions some 38 sifat. 38 different descriptive characteristics of the munafiqun that he collects and he mentions. He mentions about hypocrisy is a deep-rooted and all-pervading spiritual disease. At times, a person's heart cannot even seem to, is oblivious to it. Can't seem to understand that there could be elements of hypocrisy inside their heart that we find. This person is trying to spread corruption on the face of the earth. He also then continues to mention, in reality, these are the enemies, seeking to destroy it from within, covertly spreading their corruption, ignorance, such that the unwary think that these are the people of falling knowledge and upon right action. How many strongholds of Islam these people they try to destroy? How many things they try to attempt to wipe out the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He wrote this centuries ago. How true these words are today, that we find that the enemy within us, people from within us who try to dismantle Islam, who try to speak ill of Islam. You know, this dismantling Islam isn't just a one-way understanding of just people of bid'ah, people of innovation. It's like people of corruption, of belief, of vices, of sins that we find, political interests that we find. There's various forms, various attacks of seeking to weaken Islam from within. It's not just a one-way traffic that some people think, that this is the thing that weakens Islam. There's many things, many attacks that take place upon Islam to weaken the roots of Islam that we find. And likewise, we find that these such individuals that we find, as mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ, don't have sound application or sound knowledge that we find. In the Hadith Imam, in the Sunnah Imam Tirmidhi that we find, two characteristics will never exist together inside a hypocrite: good manners and comprehension of religion. A person who understands the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and has fine characteristic is going to be away from hypocrisy. But a person doesn't understand their deen, doesn't understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't have good comprehension. You can see the blunders, you can see their speech, you can see the etiquette, you can see their behavior. It all becomes displayed. Because this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the blessed tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The signs of hypocrisy that we find, numerous signs that existed, that we all need to be wary of. That when he speaks, he lies. And if you find either, ulama of hadith mentioned, either bima'na istimrariya, becomes habitual. One of a person may speak and utter a wrong word or say something wrong, because we're human beings. But whenever they speak, they're habitual and they lie. When they make a promise, they break their promise. When they trust you in something, they're dishonest towards that trust. And you find a fourth characteristic, when they quarrel, when they have an argument with someone, they become rude and insulting inside their manners. Is that not a severe warning to us? Look at many of our shabab, our youth. If they don't agree with someone, they differ with someone. It's a genuine difference of opinion. Listen to the language. Look at the etiquette. Look at the behavior. May Allah forbid, these are signs of hypocrisy. That's why in the hadith we mentioned these four things. If a person has all these four elements, then that is pure hypocrisy. And if a person has one of these signs, that is one element of hypocrisy. In other words, we need to wipe all this out from us. All forms of hypocrisy, purification of the heart, need to be developed inside our life to purify ourselves. As we mentioned, the purity of the heart leads to purity of the tongue, leads to purity of actions as well. We find amongst the traits or the characteristics of these individuals, whereby the Quran mentions itself that we should be wary of, that life isn't just speech as some people that they think. That the essence of a life of a believer inside the a'mal, inside the practice, it's easy for an individual to speak and to say certain things. But the real element of Islam is the practice, the internal practice of that individual, and the practice that inside their private life. That will have a great impact upon the individual inside their personal life and give them an impact upon the wider community around them. As they say that a word from the heart is delivered from the heart and taken inside the heart of another individual. Words which are just given from the tip of the tongue, that is taken from the tongue to the tongue and is ignored, which exists unfortunately inside our society. And as we find, it's not about how intelligent the individual is, how skillful inside their language it is, how many degrees they may ascertain or they may possess, or the position that they may have. That's not what Islam is based on, even though that is something good, something fruitful. But Islam, it doesn't lie upon academia. It lies upon the application of those words, application of the sciences of Islam. And that's when the Quran gives a severe warning. When Allah speaks, as I saw to Munafiqun, when they speak, they want people to hear their words. They want people to listen to them. They want to be attractive. This is all the world of politics and politicians that we find around us. They want people to listen to them. They like to make false promises, false oaths, say certain things to attract the people. And like by certain people, they want to be heard. They want to be known. They want to be listened to. Quran mentions, يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَكْتُمُونَ. They say with their tongues that which does not exist inside their hearts. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَكْتُمُونَ. Allah knows what they're concealing within themselves. Look how the Quran is accurate. Allah knows the words that they're uttering from their mouth, they mean nothing. These are just words that these people are trying to say to mesmerize people. I would say to take people into their grasp, as they say. But their heart is devoid of that devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's even affects and impact of hypocrisy in our society. It leads to lies and dishonesty becoming widespread, which unfortunately began to exist inside our society. And how many times do you find such questions presented by non-Muslims, that if Islam is a good way of life, even though it's not an excuse, but it's a plausible argument they can present to us Muslims, that we're engaged in da'wah, we're engaged in preaching to people, or we should be. So if Islam is a pure way of life, a good way of life, why do you Muslims cheat? Why do you Muslims lie? Why do you Muslims betray your trust? It's a plausible argument they can present to us, because we're not practicing what we preach. If we say that Islam is the right way of life, it's a form of success, it does this, it does that, but we don't live it in our own life, that gives them an element of doubt, even though there should be no doubt, because Islam is pure. Look at the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. Don't follow our practice, but we unfortunately are a symbol of that. And we should live up to showing good symbols of Islam, that this is what Islam tells us, this is what we do. We carry every single vice on the face of the earth. It sounds very, very sad. How many times have you like non-Muslims saying to Muslims, why are you drinking for? Why are you drinking alcohol for? They know it's, for them, they know it's, they don't care if it's halal or haram. It's their life. But look at it, they have some element of shame, some element of understanding that, okay, I'm drinking, my, why are you drinking for? Why do you drink for? You know it's forbidden for you according to your deen, your way of life. They have to tell us our deen. They have to remind us this is something forbidden for you. That's how shallow we've become, some of us. That on the streets around the Muslim will behave in such an evil manner. Don't take these extreme words. In our engagement with so many different authorities, they've said this, that the amount of Muslim youth that we've caught trafficking drugs, drinking alcohol, doing haram things, we know it's haram. They know it's haram. We have to tell them it's haram to avoid this inside the Muslim so-called inclusions of Muslim highly populated areas that we find. It's a shame upon us. That what are we doing inside a society? At the moment, there's messages going on. What are we going to do about the knife crime, the violence that Muslims are engaged in inside our community? The answer is quite simple. The answer is very simple. All these masajid around us, look at the speech. Week in and week out, the khutbah is given inside a language that most people don't understand. Week in and week out, people turn up for Yawmul Jum'ah when it's time for the bayan. The bayan is not part of Yawmul Jum'ah, it's not part of the khutbah. Everybody knows that. And actually it's an innovation to have a speech before the khutbah. So nobody turns up there. Young youth will turn up towards the end of the sermon or the end of the prayer. So what uplifting is there? What reminder is there? 55 masajid inside the area of Newham. What benefit is it? And then we're going to sit down and have think tanks, how are we going to tackle the crime inside our community? We have drug dealers, there's no exaggeration, trafficking drugs outside the masjid. Muslim drug dealers outside the masjid, trafficking it. This is a shame upon us. A shame upon our community, a shame upon our masajid. That what are we boasting about? What do we boast about? If this is the vices, the moral fibre of our society at the moment, is something we need to be worried about. That we need to be engaged inside the society around us. Likewise, trust are not honoured inside our society. Likewise, people become treacherous inside their lives. As for the impact upon our own selves, to remind ourselves about the elements of hypocrisy, as we began with hypocrisy regarding as-salah. Khususan Salatul Fajr wa Salatul Isha. Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha. A person who's regular from staying away from it, who doesn't make it for Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha in Jama'ah, inside the masjid, needs to place a great big question mark about themselves. They need to place a great big question mark. Maybe once in a year, twice in a year, a person falls asleep, doesn't wake up. It's happened even amongst the companions. We're all human beings. But on a habitual basis, you don't make it for Fajr inside the masjid. 3, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times in a week, you don't. You need to place a big question mark inside your heart, inside your mind. You need to go back and rectify everything about yourself. Because this is among dripping from minor signs of hypocrisy, lead to major signs of hypocrisy, of staying away from the prayer, staying away from the congregation. Some people say, well, I pray Fajr. I pray in the morning. I pray in the morning on my own. La bil jama'ati. Exert yourself to get to the congregation. Because the most difficult prayer for the munafiqun, for the hypocrites, is Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha. And if they knew the reward for coming for these two prayers, they'll come habwan. They'll come crawling like a baby, crawling on the ground, all fours, to get to the masjid. We drive. We live close to the masjid. But we look at our lazy attitude. Look at our mental state. That it's too difficult. It's too far away. We're all surrounded by masajid all around us. We find it so difficult to take two steps out of our bed, to perform wudu, to travel, to go to the masjid, to gain that ajr, to gain that reward. Whoever prays Salatul Fajr bil Jama'ati, for he's under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All for the rest of that day. Whoever prays with the Imam, Salatul Isha, he's under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or that person had the reward of standing half the night. Pray Fajr in the morning, you have the reward of all the night standing in prayer. Before we speak about big things, this is what we need to uplift ourselves regarding. Fighting this hypocrisy within ourselves that we find. And likewise to pray at its right, appropriate time. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. As we began with a double life, in our work environment, surrounded by non-Muslims, I will slip my prayer here. When I find time, or when I leave work, the most beloved action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا. As-salah on its right time. Once in a while it could happen, but on a daily basis, a person should focus that every single day try my best to observe the prayer in the masjid with the jama'ah. If it's not possible, bring it down a grade. At least pray in congregation with a group of Muslims. If not, at least bring it down a grade. Pray on my own, but on the right time. Don't let it travel down all the way. That you pray at the latter time, on your own, at the end time, and it becomes habitual. Till eventually you spill over into the following prayer. This is all dangerous for the individual that we find. And that's if you look, go back to Surah An-Nisa that we find. Pages 100 to 101, two odd pages or so. All descriptive nature of the munafiqun. Amongst the first clear sifa that we find, that Allah mentions after their treachery, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَخَادِعُهُمْ. They think that they can deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah, if we can use such words linguistic, is tricking them, which is something plausible in a good manner. That Allah makes them forget about their own selves. That they're trying to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what concerns us is, what is the first characteristic? The first sign that before we deceive the world, we deceive people, we deceive everybody around us, is trying to deceive Allah. Regarding what? وَإِذَا قَامُوا لَلصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالًا يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. The beginning. You're deceiving Allah regarding your salah, that's the beginning of hypocrisy. The rest is ahwan, it's easy, it's simple. To lie, to cheat to people, to fraud, to do whatever you want to do. The beginning is as-salah. That's the beginning of the individual. That's focus inside your life. That will awaken the individual. That will keep them in check, keep them in focus. But if your salah has no value inside your life, that's in conclusion that we find, أول ما يحاسب عليه عبد يوم القيامة. Hadith al-Mu'jam Tabrani that we find. First thing the believer asks about on the day of judgment will be as-salah. Inside the grave. That is successful. Everything will be successful of that individual. And thus you find that inside the grave, as-salah will come. Hasnul wajh, tibu rih. As-salah will come to all of us if we observe it in the right manner. In a beautiful figure, in a sweet fragrance, in a good smell. It will come to the individual inside the grave. Person say, who are you? Man anta? Who are you? It is this beautiful figure and this sweet smelling fragrance. It will say, I am your prayer. I am your prayer that you guarded, you preserved, and you took care of. Here I am inside your grave. Wa man lam yuhafidh alayha. Whoever doesn't guard and preserve their prayer, person come with an evil, disfigured figure, disfigured face, a bad stench, a bad foul stench, will come to the individual inside the grave. Person say, who are you? What are you? Person say, I am your prayers. I'm your prayers that you wasted on this life that you took no care of. And that's what that's what you find as we began with al-munafiqun. Stranger is al-munafiqun inda Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kanu yahtamuna bis-salah. They used to be worried about salah. Because the only symbol that they had to be shown at that time openly in general was if they stayed away from Salatul Jama'ah. If they stayed away from, they'd be caught out. These are the hypocrites. So they exerted the effort to make sure they came to Salatul Jama'ah so nobody could spot them. Read through the seerah of some of the companions. If somebody had missed Jama'ah, they would hide in the crevices of the wall. So people go past, nobody could spot them, they missed Jama'ah. They felt upset. They felt worried. They felt troubled. We think nothing of it today. And then we want to speak about why our lives are not full of contentment. Try to uproot elements of hypocrisy from our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu to give us the tawfiq and ability to uproot the minor elements of hypocrisy from our heart. And likewise to keep us away from the major nifaq, the major hypocrisy of trying to dismantle Islam.